Hey guys, it's Taylor Gray, Ezra Bridger from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to the Carbonite Crew Podcast. May the Force be with you, always. Spectre 6, out!
Hey kid, I'm putting together a crew.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Carbonite Crew Podcast. We're back after a short week or two break. We're happy to be back. Today it is me, and I'm joined by Jonathan. How are you doing, Jonathan?
Yeah. Hey guys, how's it going? I'm doing well. It's been, like you said, a pretty crazy couple of weeks. Done some moving. Yeah, big life changes, you know?
Heck yeah, you got a new job, you got a new place.
Yeah, it's been wild. A lot of work.
Working on that glow up.
Yeah, exactly. As the kids say.
That's right. Whatever they're saying nowadays.
Yeah.
It is crazy we're still very young, but we're still getting just old enough where we are out of the loop on what kids are actually saying.
I feel like that probably more than you do, honestly. I'm a few years older than you, and it just seems like every time something big comes up, I have to actually look it up. And then I'm hot on it after that. Like, I'm all about it. But
that's what we have Daniel for, really. That's exactly why we keep him around.
Yeah.
He keeps us young at heart with his phrases. And
That's certainly one way to put it, Tyler.
Yeah, if only the people knew. Today we're going to be talking about the Vanity Fair article that came out.
It's titled Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, The Ultimate Preview. And it's got some pretty interesting stuff in it.
Yeah. It's a really good length article, a lot longer than I thought it would be. I read a little bit of it, I read most of it. Decent read, nothing too out there, too crazy, no spoilery stuff in the article itself.
Yeah, just a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. They talk a lot about filming, being in Jordan, especially.
Yes.
Which they actually talked a little bit about at Celebration during the 9 panel. That was kind of cool.
Do you think, speaking of Jordan, so, you know, I see all these memes on Facebook and these Facebook groups like, oh, we're doing a new desert planet, we're going to another desert planet. In your opinion, do you think it's a new desert planet, or are we
maybe seeing
a different part of Jakku or Tatooine?
No, I would like, I think I've said this before, maybe not on podcasts, but I would like us to go back to Tatooine. I don't think that's likely. I really do think we're going to be seeing Jakku again. I really think that's where it's going. I think it would be a little silly to have another desert planet. But yeah, I think we are going back to Jakku because, you know, everyone wants to go back to Jakku.
Of course, like I know you and I have talked about it, but they set the foreshadowing up so perfectly in The Force Awakens. Uh-huh. I think we have to. I think we have to end in Jakku, personally.
Well, and being a book guy, the Aftermath series puts a lot of importance on Jakku and what's located there. And especially now that we know the Emperor's coming back, the fact that Jakku was the place that he wanted the Empire to go after he died, because it has this ancient observatory there that can help lead them through the unknown regions, like, I really hope we see some of that, or at least get some, you know, some good backstory leaning into that a little bit.
Yeah, that would be cool. Maybe actually use the observatory to maybe find the Emperor, or maybe Kylo uses the observatory to explore, and that's how we
I think more than any other planet in the sequel trilogy, Jakku is the most important planet. I mean, we've seen some cool places. We've seen Takodana with Maz's castle. That's just this ancient place. We've seen Starkiller Base. It's really interesting. We've seen Krait, you know, Dakar. Mm-hmm. But more than any other place within the sequel trilogy, Disney Lucasfilm has really tried to build up how important Jakku is.
And
I'm really hoping for a big payoff on that.
And it's cool because we have that buildup, but we don't know why it's important. I mean, like you said, we know the observatory from reading and the novelizations, but we don't know, like, if you're just a movie goer, a casual fan, you don't know the importance or the significance of Jakku yet. I mean, even us hardcore fans, we really don't know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a different part Probably of Jakku. I think that makes the most sense.
You think so?
I personally don't think we're going back to Tatooine in this movie.
I would love to. I just don't. I agree. I don't think it's realistic as much as I want it.
I don't think it fits into the story for any reason, really.
Maybe if we have like another big celebration at the end of this movie, like at Return of the Jedi, we could see shots of these different planets, you know?
Or I'd be okay if they
see one little stormtrooper out there like dancing on this like the wreckage of Starkiller Base, just one guy out in space jamming.
I'm gonna call it now. We're gonna go back to Tatooine, and this is what it's gonna be. We're gonna get kind of the episode 3-esque where, you know, they leave Luke with Beru and Owen,
mm-hmm.
but we're gonna get that with Kylo and Rey.
With that in themselves, or
yeah,
are you talking about
they're starting a little Raylo family.
Okay. I can ship it.
I can learn to love it if I have to.
Yeah, I know you're very hesitant about the whole Raylo thing, but
hey, if it makes sense with the story and it flows in and it's organic, okay.
I think if Raylo's gonna happen, it'll be an implied thing at the end of the movie. I don't think we're gonna get anything super obtrusive, because last time we did something as far as like super intrusive romances, it wasn't received well at the time with Padme and Anakin. So,
right, I think, and honestly, the whole Raylo controversy, debate, whatever you want to call it, I think The Last Jedi did actually really well at it, because it's very implied, but at the same time, if you're not really a fan of it like myself, it's easy to not see that. Like it's you can really go both ways with it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely.
It is confirmed, or I mean, at least the sources I've heard from people inside that behind the scenes kind of stuff, that I mean, Adam Driver was in Jordan.
Yeah.
But he wasn't there long. So there is debate, maybe it was a smokescreen. Because a lot of them were there for what, the 2 months, or I mean, not, it wasn't too long, but he was only there a few days.
Yeah.
So, but I guess if all you have to do is fly a TIE fighter across the desert.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I still don't think that's him.
Yeah, I think it. Unless it's like a vision, it doesn't make any sense for it not to be him personally.
Hmm.
I don't know if I ever went on record.
I hope it's Luke's Force ghost taking the Yoda training to like another level. Like, you know, he carried Luke around on his back, and Luke's like, you know, now you have to jump on this starfighter. My ghost is piloting, and you've got to hold on to my back.
Yeah.
Be good.
Yeah. Instead of her having to lift the X-wing out of the water, she's gotta make a TIE fighter fly and jump over
or keep the TIE fighter from going into atmosphere and killing her with the Force.
Ooh.
Like grounding the TIE fighter. Ooh.
That do or die situation.
Do or do not. There is no try.
You die. You mess up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's, we can touch on the covers, I guess. Let's go through the pictures, because there's a lot of new and exciting pictures and revelations that we've learned from this Vanity Fair article. Covers are cool. Two variant covers.
Just get a lot of cool behind the scenes shots. Let's just jump in. I think we right before we started recording, I was making some sassy comments about like the top cover picture.
Oh yes, of the article.
We've got a big shot of the film crew all kind of standing around, and Daisy Ridley, dressed as Rey, is standing there in her full outfit on the desert planet. And JJ is looking at her, and he's just kind of got this shocked reaction, and it makes me think he's like, ooh, look at that. I made that.
He's like, this is it. This is my doing, and I love it.
I didn't even realize it was JJ, because it seems like every time I see him, he's dressed up at events.
That's
I'm not
true.
Used to seeing him. Like, looking like a desert oboe.
Yeah, I just expect him to be in a suit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
No, but yeah, cool. God, the background of that is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Jordan's beautiful, and it's exciting that...
Well, let's go... Let's scroll down here. So we got the Vanity Fair covers. So there's two covers. Mm-hmm. We got one with Adam Driver as Kylo Ren and Daisy Ridley as Rey. Very simplistic.
I like that the
covers
fit together, just like as a thing. Like if you put them next to each other, they line up. Like if you notice the mountains in the background
and the clouds in the ground. I wish the vanity was on his side and the fair was on her side to make it like one big cover. I think that would have been super cool. But I mean, from a marketing point, I totally get it.
Yeah.
Totally get it. Yeah. But from a, I want to hang this up on my wall, that would have been cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, very simplistic covers. He's not holding anything. He's unarmed. All she has is her staff, which could possibly wear.
She actually has her blaster there, too. It's holstered,
yes.
But it is there.
Which I wonder if we'll see that again, because she
I think so, because that's been more prominently focused in this movie than we saw at all in 8. I mean, she fired it that one time, but...
Yeah, with the blaster, I mean, we saw her fire it and all that in The Last Jedi, but she didn't really use it. But yeah, with her, I mean, Han Solo gave it to her, so I think we'll... I think they've done a really good job in the sequel trilogy of kind of keeping small little details and elements prevalent.
I agree.
You know, it's not like we get introduced to midichlorians and never see them again.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know... Which, I mean, granted, this little sequel trilogy is a lot easier because we're only dealing with a handful of characters and not...
Yeah, and it's a lot smaller scale than the prequels were.
Exactly.
I feel.
All right. So let's get to the next picture. My favorite picture, just because it's confirmed, finally, that the Knights of Ren will be appearing in The Rise of Skywalker.
Which is super exciting, and I think it's one of the things that, aside from the Palpatine thing, which we didn't know we needed, but we did, the Knights of Ren were the one thing I think both of us said, like, need to be in this movie.
Without a doubt. I think that's been the biggest little thing that hasn't been touched on or spoken about in the sequel trilogy. So it's nice to see, and they're on Jordan. Let's not ignore that fact.
Again, could be a smokescreen, just saying.
I mean, could be. It very well could be.
That could be like six dudes from hair and makeup all dressed up in the Knights of Ren costume because they needed a PR shot.
yeah.
just saying.
They have the budget
for
it.
Yeah.
So I'm counting six. We got JJ in the picture. They're all holding different kinds of weapons, and it's just a super cool shot. They're all in black. The Knights of Ren... They're just so there's just something about them.
It's that allure of that mystery.
I don't think they're force wielders. I really don't. I know it's been talked about, and we've discussed it, that maybe they're from Luke's Jedi Temple. But I don't know why they would be having weapons like this if they were.
Yeah, that's a good question. There's a lot of enigma there, like. I know we've talked about this as far as, like, what have they been doing this whole trilogy so far, you know?
Yeah.
Granted, like, The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi take place over a week, like, max. So, like, I get it, but where have they been? What are they doing?
Yeah, I don't know. No? I heard another thing, you know, the Knights of Ren, maybe they're Mandalorian descent.
Mm-hmm. Which, and that could play really interestingly with the Mandalorian.
It very well could, and I mean, we have the House of Ren.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, it's spelled differently, but it's one letter. You know.
Yeah.
I imagine stuff gets probably a little messed up in this galaxy.
it's possible. I mean, I'm a little dubious on that, just because it would only be 40 years. Like, it's not.
Well. You could go with the idea that maybe they're descendants of the House of Ren, but they're trying to disassociate themselves with it.
Okay.
So they drop the letter, and they're their own thing. Or maybe they were exiled by them.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know? So that would be interesting.
Would kind of explain the weapons and stuff, just because Mandalorians are well known for their vast array of weapons.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. And like I said, it's hard to speculate, or easy to speculate, I guess, whichever way you want to look at it, because we know nothing about these.
Fascinating little note. All the ones that we've seen so far are only... Besides the guy who looks like he has double flamethrowers, the rest of them are all using melee weapons.
And it's super cool.
Which isn't... If we're going to assume that they're Mandalorians and they're not Force-sensitive, and it doesn't look like they're wearing a lot of armor, isn't practical for Star Wars. Like, if you're going to take a melee, like, as if it's not a lightsaber, if it's not something you can literally block and deflect blaster bolts with, that isn't practical in the Star Wars universe.
Which tells me either, one, maybe they do have some kind of lightsaber, mm-hmm. or two, they're just super badass.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't need anything like that.
Could be.
I don't know. Maybe these Knights of Ren will be introducing us to some sort of warrior, you know, that we mm-hmm. have yet to be introduced to, and maybe that we will get in other media down the line.
Yeah.
You never know.
Some of the picture captions are pretty interesting, too. Like, the one under the Knights of Ren says, J.J. Abrams, alongside stunt coordinator Eunice Huthart, directs the Knights of Ren, elite, fearsome enforcers of Kylo Ren's dark will. So that's pretty cool, I think.
I'm just super excited. I hope we get some dope Knights of Ren merch.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got that Triple Force Friday coming up.
There's going to be so much. I'm going to have to save as much as we save for Celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Three different... Gosh.
Yeah, it's going to be intense.
I do want to note, and it's probably... I know it's been debated on all the posts and whatnot, but the figure with his back turned to... Which I assume it's the one with the back turned to the picture. He's holding a big staff with like an axe on the end.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see a very similar, if not the same, weapon in Solo: A Star Wars Story.
Mm-hmm. It's the same looking axe head, like you said.
Yeah, and I studied.
And it looks like it's some kind of vibroblade, just because it looks like it has wiring coming out of it too. That's worth noting.
Oh yeah, I see that.
Which would make sense. That's an in-universe thing. They didn't animate it during the original trilogy, but a lot of the guards at Jabba's Palace had similar weapons. And they are supposed to be electrically powered. They're not just bladed weapons, but it's not to the extent that like a lightsaber is.
Yeah, I'm curious, because and some people have said, oh, it's just props being reused, or, you know, saving
it
money.
It's possible, but...
But that's a big thing to, like, reuse, and...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and not that they're going to be like, yo, this was around when Dryden Voss was around. Like, they're not going to do that.
Right, but it's a nice little nod if that's the case.
But you might get something where, like, one of them or all of them worked for Crimson Dawn at one time, and boom, there's your connection.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So,
which, I mean, I don't know about that. I could see something, because Crimson Dawn, I don't think we have a concrete, like, place for when Solo takes place, but, I mean, and I guess unless Kira takes Crimson Dawn over, I mean, Maul dies relatively mm-hmm. soon afterwards. So, I don't know. There's a lot about Crimson Dawn and the whole Solo background that we don't really know what's going on with, but it's possible.
Yeah, it'd be nice to kind of get some more background, make Solo 2 happen, so...
Yeah, hashtag make Solo 2 happen.
So, I'm not a big person on those petitions or, you know, these, like, let's do this, but let's make Solo 2 happen. I mean, I can get behind that. Good, fun movie. Let's move on to the next picture. We finally get a visual image of Carrie Russell's character in this new mm-hmm. movie. She looks like the Rocketeer. She really does. It is a cool looking helmet, though.
Yeah, and it almost looks to me less like a helmet and more like she cut the head off of a droid and decided to make it into a helmet.
Maybe she is half a droid.
It could be. That would be a fascinating thing. And the caption for this picture says, "Vanity Fair reveals Carrie Russell as the masked scoundrel Zori Bliss, seen in the thieves' quarter of the snow-dusted world of Kijimi."
Which is that scene where we see that ship flying into in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
mm-hmm.
So
I've seen a lot of speculation, considering how little we know about this character. I've seen just a ton of speculation on who she could be. You know, I've seen stuff thrown around like, oh, maybe she's Luke's wife. Maybe she's Rey's mom. Maybe she's both.
Yeah. And like I said with the Knights of Ren thing, it's so easy / hard to speculate.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's Disney / Lucasfilm / Star Wars. has done a great job, and they're doing it with this article and these pictures alone, of bringing up more questions than answers.
Yeah. Fantastic at that.
I think the outfit is super cool. The doors are kind of have a cool look. Circle, I assume that's the door at least.
Yeah, it's very unique, like, in that sense.
The only other time I saw a circle door like that in my memory was the Mandalorian. Where else? Where did you say?
The Trade Federation had circular doors. I mean, they weren't exactly true. Like that, but true. Yeah.
But
I mean, it's still pretty unique. I agree.
I like her little blast. So, go ahead.
What do you think about her whole description as a scoundrel?
That's interesting word, because I feel like the only time that really gets thrown around is with Han Solo.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another interesting thing. I mean,
I don't know. I want to get hyped for this character, but if there's anything The Last Jedi taught me, it's...
All the
sequel trilogy movies, because you had Max von Sydow, who died within 5 minutes of the opening of The Force Awakens. You had Benicio del Toro. I mean, and DJ was a good character.
I hope to see him, yeah.
I hope so, too. I would love to see him come back, but he had an impact on the plot, but, like, what was the character? Who was he, like, you know?
Exactly, and I hope he's not just a one-off character.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
That was a really big role to play, to just be like, gotcha, you know?
Yeah. They blow you up today, you blow them up tomorrow.
I toyed with the idea that it'd be cool for, like, maybe the Emperor, if you're going to go with the whole essence transfer, like, that he was in that body, maybe.
Maybe that's why he's stuttering.
Yeah, he can't figure it out.
Yeah.
So the Carrie Russell thing, it will be interesting. Maybe, and I'm just pure speculation. You know, maybe it's her. Rey was her and Han Solo's child.
Could be. Wouldn't surprise me with Han Solo.
You know. Who knows? Clearly,
that
Han
would
explain knows who
some
she
of
was.
Those loving hugs from Leia, but without Leia being like, "Oh my God, you're my daughter."
Yeah. Right. Like she's still. I don't know. I'm gonna try not to speculate.
Yeah. Don't do that. One thing that this character reminds me a lot of, obviously the helmet's in the way, but kind of gives me that Mara Jade from Legends vibe a little bit.
Okay. I've heard that thrown around a little bit. Kind of almost has that that kind of, I don't want to say Mandalorian, you know, armor, but that visor kind of has that design, you know, across the eyes and down.
Yeah.
Down the nose,
yeah.
The face.
It's very evocative. If nothing else,
it is cool. The blasters, I think, are really cool. So you got one on each side, and they're facing backwards, so she would grab them with the opposite hand.
Yeah,
presumably.
And it's interesting because the very first time that I saw this, and only for a brief second, I was like, "Are those lightsabers? Is that like a Dooku curved hilt kind of thing going on?"
I would say no, just because if you look at the bottom of the picture, you see...
I don't think so either. Yeah. You see the muzzle, but like that was my first reaction.
It's a cool picture. The next picture we have is a picture of General Hux and the reveal of Richard E. Grant's character as General Pride.
So the caption says, "The First Order leaders, General Hux, Domhnall Gleeson, and Allegiant General Pride, Richard E. Grant, on the bridge of Kylo Ren's destroyer." This brings up some interesting things. It's great to have Kylo's ship back. I really liked it and its design and TFA. What is an Allegiant General, though?
I have no idea, but the outfit's dope.
Yeah, so like, does he outrank Hux? Does Hux outrank him? It wouldn't surprise me if Kylo Ren put someone above Hux, like,
oh,
after
definitely.
Everything that happened in The Last Jedi, especially, like...
You know, initially looking at this picture, I was like, without reading the caption real quick, just, you know, quick judgment, I was like, whoa, it's his father, you know, with that whole thing.
Right.
Because that would have been a cool dynamic to... Mm-hmm. To have in this. He's holding something in his left hand. Can't tell what it is. Almost looks like a baton, possibly, but...
It almost kind of reminds me of, like, maybe a newer First Order updated code cylinder. Like, you know how the Empire had...
Possibly. It looks a little larger than that, though.
Maybe. As for his father, I'm actually looking up Brendel Hux. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Hux is dead. I think that you are right. But this is Star Wars. No one's ever really gone.
You're going to use that all the time now, aren't you?
I think it was meant to be used all the time now at this point.
Well, that could be, yeah.
It is the second time we're getting that line.
Mm-hmm.
It is a cool shot, though, just that picture with the space in the background on the deck. I like that picture. It's a cool picture.
It's true.
It's
true. Yeah, so it's interesting. Obviously he's not his dad. I almost wonder if we're going to get... I hope we get more of him, because whoever the general guy was at the beginning of The Last Jedi, I wish he'd been around longer. Because he was from the Empire originally, and this guy looks to be about that age as well.
Yes.
And it'll be interesting if he sticks around a little longer to just see some of those differences, because it is very... it is very interesting to see, at least in the books, the clashing of the ideologies between the old guard of the Empire and the new First Order.
I'm going to make up a backstory right now for this guy.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's go.
He was a leader. He was either a pilot / general in the rebellion. Empire fell. Something happens along the way. First Order comes about, gets born. He takes on this position, becomes a legion, whatever that is. He is directly in charge of the Knights of Ren, and General Hux, tries to do the whole backstabbing, double cross thing, just to kind of undermine Kylo, but blames it on this guy when it comes down to it.
Mm. That's cool.
That's me throwing it out there now.
That is interesting.
All right. I want to take this time right now to give a personal shout out to our supporter and a friend, Fez. Thank you, Fez, so much for supporting the show and allowing us to help bring the content to you and to everybody else who listens. We thank you so much. Fez is actually our first ever patron. And if you are interested in becoming a patron as well, we just launched our Patreon page over on patreon.com. So if you head over to patreon.com/carbonitecrew, you can read about and see everything we have to offer. We have stuff for as little as a dollar a month, which, like Fez here, gets a personal shout out every episode. And for $5 a month, you guys can get access to exclusive content and bonus episodes. So episodes that we aren't even going to release regularly. We may talk Star Wars, we may talk Marvel, DC, other nerdy stuff, just random stuff. We get together, we just have a good time, and that's exclusively available to you guys. We also have a bunch of other options too. There's an option for stickers and buttons and some patches even, whether it be Carbonite Crew related or just Star Wars related. We want to give you guys some cool stuff as a thank you to help supporting the show. We have a t-shirt option, and we even have a Funko Pop option for you guys that are collectors like myself out there. So go over to patreon.com right now /carbonitecrew, check it out, and thank you guys so much for listening, and may the force be with you. So we have moving on we have just some behind the scenes pictures of C-3PO and Chewbacca and Rey with Finn as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these pictures are of Jordan.
Yeah,
I've noticed. So I am curious how long we'll be on that planet for.
It's interesting because I don't necessarily know that the pictures are very indicative. I mean, we might be on the planet for a good amount of time, but I'm curious to see, and I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know that we even really know where they've been filming the Endor scenes.
True.
I'd be curious to see some pictures from that, or hear about where that is, at least.
Yeah. I think they're doing a really good job, like I said, of kind of making you ask, bring up more questions and not really giving you a lot at all while mm-hmm. still giving you a lot, if that makes any
yeah.
sense.
And I think, at least from what the caption in the picture is portraying, this is actually that chase scene that we see where they're all on the barge.
Yes, it appears so.
So that's kind of cool.
Which that could all be the, part of the whole, TIE Fighter scene with Rey. I don't know.
Yeah. The next picture down is just C-3PO being polished by some cast members. BB-8's looking on.
I actually think it's the first time that C-3PO shows human emotion and he's crying and they're wiping up the
He's become sentient.
He's going to have a bigger role, they said.
The interesting thing about the caption is the only cast member to appear in all 9 of the Skywalker films, which is true, but it's interesting that they word it that way.
Well, the only one he hasn't been in is Solo, which I thought was an interesting move at the time. Just for that fact. But yeah, it's... I like I said, I think he's crying, and it's showing us how emotional Saul will be. Let's move on to the next two pictures, which I think are two very important pictures.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Let's move over to we have the one on the left. For some reason, I don't know why they're all small. So we have John Boyega as Finn and Naomi Ackie as, is it Jana? Is it Jana? It's Jana.
I don't know yet.
I think it's Jana. I think it's Jana.
I'll go with that.
They're atop Hardy Orbax. Lead the charge against the mechanized forces of the First Order. It's extremely surreal to be in it, says Aki, and see how it works from the inside. What did you get out of this picture? I know what I got out of this picture.
I don't know. Furry horses? That's pretty cool.
From my understanding, and I didn't research it too much because I'm a bad researcher, I guess, those Orbax are the Mandalorian's insignia, if I'm correct?
Really?
Because look at the shape of the skull.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I think you're wrong.
No one's ever really gone, Jonathan.
But you are. Some people can be wrong.
I'm a Star Wars fan, so... What are those called?
Mythosaurs. Mythosaurs.
Hardy Orbax.
Yep. The Mythosaur is... an animal native to the Outer Rim world of Mandalore. The Mandalorians eventually dominated them, and they used their skull. The skull became the symbol for the Mandalore, the traditional ruler of all the Mandalorian clans.
That's canon, right?
Yep.
Okay, but I mean, look at the skull, though, or whatever the front thing is. Like, that does look like the Mandalorian. We'll get our answers.
Fair.
So
it's interesting that that's what you took away. That I appreciate, because I never would have thought that. So that's a very interesting.
That's just what I see. That's what I see. Because even look at the one on the left, that cross T looking thing on his.
It's
very
crazy. I can totally see what you're saying.
And it could be a case of maybe the species are called two different things on two different planets.
I could be.
I don't know. Yeah. So I like the bow and arrow usage.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting, especially against mechanized troops.
You know,
also makes me wonder what that means, because mechanized could mean like they're in tanks and walkers and things, but it could also mean that the First Order is using droids, maybe.
So you got droids out of that. See, I think that's hinting at the Knights of Ren.
Really? How so?
I mean, look what they're wearing. All metal with these. I mean, I guess mechanized weapons when I really look at them, depending on what they can and cannot do.
That's true. I mean, it's possible.
And it would be kind of a cool fight to see if we're seeing like a bow and arrow versus a sword, this classic kind of battle, but in this galactic universe where there's lasers and laser swords.
I always worry when you're bringing a group that's, I don't know, implied to be as badass as the Knights of Ren, and you're pitting them against non-main characters. I don't know how to put that. I mean, Finn's a main character, but he's not on the same level that Rey is.
But I don't think they're big enough to, like...
kill off. I don't think they would do that either, but...
You can't just be like, oh, here, put them up against Rey by herself. I mean, I guess you could, but...
You could! I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. It is a cool picture, though. I do agree. I like the usage of the bow and arrow, especially because Finn's got like this huge looks like very unwieldy looking rifle.
Yeah, it looks
heavy. I don't know how you would try and shoot that on horseback.
it reminds me of that scene where Padme's shooting the battle droid gun in Attack of the Clones, and it just looks that's awkward. A
good one. Yeah.
With the one hand. So,
Can we talk about my favorite picture from this whole article next?
Yeah, I would love to. You want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
You sound like you wanted to jump into it. I like the title of the picture. It's called Starcrossed.
Yes.
And the quote, or the caption, should I say, Kylo Ren and Rey battle it out with lightsabers in a stormy confrontation. Their force connection, what Driver calls their maybe bond, will turn out to run even deeper than previously revealed.
And that is just a spicy sentence right there.
Spicy as spice can come, my friend.
And that's a quote, by the way. That whole maybe bond thing, that is a quote.
Yeah. I wonder who quotes it. That's a question. I've been going into this whole movie, you know, expecting them to team up, and now they clearly are going to battle. How soon? Maybe this is right at the beginning. It looks like it's on water, which would be Endor, from what we're piecing together at the moment.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the scene where they fight and they're like, wait, we're here for the same reason. Why are we fighting? I don't know.
Yeah, that could be. It's a maybe bond, so it could go either way.
I think it's going to be dope to get a water battle, though.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Have we really had?
We've had a lava battle. I don't think we've had water, though.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I'm trying to... Yeah, no.
Mm-mm.
Nope. We've had literally everything except one of the main elements. That would be cool, because it looks like there's a lot of water rushing and stuff, and maybe they're standing on the depths. Now that I'm looking at it, that's clearly not just ground.
No, that is something mechanical.
Yeah, it's a ship of some kind, or battle station.
Or a ruin.
That looks like it's flooding. Yeah, ooh. A cool battle on top of it while it's sinking, which, actually, I don't want that, because I feel like we got that with Mustafar.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it's cool, nonetheless. I'm okay with rehashing things if it makes sense and it looks cool.
Yeah, if they do it right.
This should be a fan service movie. I don't care what anyone says.
I think it kind of has to be, just by nature of what they've set up, calling it, like, you know, the final film in the Skywalker saga, I think.
You have to. I mean, Endgame was a whole fan service movie, and that worked out great. I mean, there's a time with movies, especially of this size and this caliber, that it's like, yeah, you don't want it to be just fan service because, you know, you want it to have some surprises and stuff. But at the same time, at the end of the day, you want everybody to be super satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means fan servicing it, do it. You know, the people that are going to complain do not outweigh the people that are going to love it at the end of the day. So, is there anything else you wanted to add to that picture? It is a super cool picture.
I don't think so. It's just probably my favorite, just because it looks amazing. It's got cool composition, you know, really cool caption.
Definitely.
There's not a whole lot there to talk about, but it looks incredible.
I didn't really notice the captions of the pictures, or like the titles of these pictures, until I started looking at them, but they're kind of neat and witty.
The next one, I think, is like kind of a continuation from that previous picture we saw with the whole cast right before the chase scene.
Yeah, more behind the scenes footage, or a little photos of everyone. The one after that is probably one of my favorite pictures in it. Which I think it might have been the cover on the articles, like the links and stuff. I could be wrong. But it's inside the Falcon. We have Dio.
Yeah. Dio.
Poe with that awesome scarf. BB-8, Chewie, and the return of Billy Dee himself as Lando Calrissian. Wearing an outfit like we have talked about before, very, very similar.
Not quite the same, but extremely similar.
Yes, very. Maybe he's just...
But I think the blue is new.
I like that blue, though.
Blue on this cape. Yeah, it kind of pops.
It's cool seeing Poe in the Falcon. I don't think we've gotten that yet, which...
He was in the Falcon at the end of 8, but...
Correct. Something about that picture. I would be happy if this little group kind of went at the end was like...
Adventures.
Yeah, if it was like this was the final kind of group in there, because maybe I can see Rey going off and doing her own thing like Luke.
Yeah. It's very reminiscent of the shot we got in some of the TFA promotional material where you've got Rey and BB-8 and Han Solo in the cockpit of the Falcon.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, it's also a Vanity Fair picture, I think.
Oh, okay. And I like that Lando's the one piloting it.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's in that main pilot seat.
I mean, I think now that Han's gone, there's only two people in the galaxy that really have claim to the Falcon, and it's Chewie and Lando, and they're right there.
And I like that they're kind of introducing this, where the last few movies you've seen Rey pilot in, you're like, oh, this is going to be Rey's ship. But at the end of the day, I think it makes way more sense for it, out of the new crop of characters we have, for it to be Poe's.
You know, unless she's Han Solo's daughter.
Correct, right. But yeah, I think it makes more sense for it to be Poe's ship at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Which, I'll be interested to see how much of that they bring back, just because JJ leaned pretty heavily into that with Han and Rey's relationship in TFA.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if he goes more in depth into that in 9.
I like the whole thing, the whole, like, you know, she's like, I'm Rey, and he's like, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see that maybe explored a little bit. That would be kind of cool.
Yep. One thing to note in this picture before we move on, does that look like some sort of hyperfuel thing to you in that center console?
Yes, that they put the coaxium in
yeah.
From Solo. Yes, it does, except it's in the front of the ship.
It's, to me, it just looks like a nitrous canister, like the ship equivalent of that. So when Lando wants to go real fast, he just presses a button and
And, you know, with the whole Solo coming out, I can see them doing where, like, maybe they're in a situation and Lando's like, I got this bad boy right here.
I want two things. I want that, and right before that scene, I want him to go into the undisturbed cape room from Solo.
Please. For it to be, maybe have them all there, but dusty. So
yeah,
you can tell,
yeah.
Maybe Han just never went in there.
Maybe he's got, like, one crate on the floor in front of the door, and that's it. Like,
because I mean, from a storytelling standpoint too, like, that's where, like, that was kind of the last time him and Kira had kind of a moment, I guess, really. Like,
yeah,
just
maybe
an intimate
and Han
moment.
Does seem like the kind of guy who, like, bottles things up and doesn't address the past.
Definitely,
so.
if you want to kind of, you know, go deep into that. So, the next picture we've got here is, it's a behind the scenes of Jordan, and it's a bunch of just costumed characters. It looks like some native species to the planet.
Which we have a name for, according to this caption.
Jordanian locals play the Aki Aki, natives of the planet Parsana. Oh, we got a name for the planet. Maybe this is a new planet.
Parsana. I don't know. That's interesting. I wouldn't have pegged another desert planet, but if they make it work, they make it work, you know?
Yeah, now I'm curious. I've not seen that.
I mean, I guess the same thing you could argue with for the original trilogy. Why do we need Endor? We already had Yavin as a planet, you know?
True.
We don't need another forest planet.
Yeah, and like I've been saying, if it makes sense, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to complain.
So kind of a cool shot. They're all just kind of, you got some aliens, you've got a couple of humans, you know?
Yeah,
it's interesting to see.
A little mask guy, slash maybe robot guy, I don't know. So hard to tell.
Yeah.
The next picture we've got is, I can feel it. Feel it. You know, it's John Williams. It's conducting Star Wars score for this final movie. This will be his final movie.
Drawing on themes and motifs he has woven across 4 decades. I didn't think there would ever be a second film, he says.
Well, the second film of the third film of the third act.
3 for 3.
So yeah, he good for him. In the background you can see an image of Leia, which is that's
sad.
You know, there was some moments in The Last Jedi that kinda got to me, you know, with her just passing, but I kinda have a feeling this one's gonna be a little heavier.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, but God, that just looks like such an intimate room. The lights are dim, scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see someone zoom in on that that music sheet.
I would love to just hear that room, just to be there and hear what they're playing.
Just a fly on the wall. That'd be one of the places I'd want to be a fly on the wall for.
Yep, definitely.
And then I believe it takes us to the final image. It's a pretty powerful image itself. I love the colors in it. It's titled From the Ashes. Mark Hamill as Luke with R2-D2. Speculation is rampant about who will rise as the Skywalker of the movie's title and how that choice will reflect the way the world has changed since Star Wars debuted in 1977.
So let me just ask the obvious question after reading that caption. Does Luke come back to life?
I didn't think of that until you just brought that up. But
I mean, they literally, From the Ashes is the title of the caption.
And he is the one that says no one's ever really truly gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to overuse that line, but I mean, I don't know. Because, you know, my initial thought was this is from the temple burning down again.
Right.
But clearly, I don't think so, because there's a lot of trees and greenery.
It seems like they're up high, too.
Maybe he's learned a Force Ghost a little more realistically? Like, maybe more, more like human?
In HD.
Yeah, he's finally in 1080p. Not 720. But maybe he's not as ghostly, you know, as...
Mm-hmm. That could be.
Because he does have that blue tint. And, I mean, and the smoke around him is a little bluish.
Yeah, I guess a little bit. I can see that. I didn't see that at first, but...
And now I'm curious, man. I'll be curious to see. And like I said, I love that we don't have a lot of information.
Yeah, and to be fair, this whole article's point is to tease us, so I wouldn't take anything that's implied in this as absolute truth, unless it's directly reported, like the names of the planets and character names and things.
It could
like
all
that.
Be a smokescreen. I mean, that they name that planet and it's really tiny, but if it's a smokescreen, it makes sense to make it tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And not to be noticeable. Or, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's Star Wars. It's anything is possible. So
Yep.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Good article overall.
Yeah.
Good read.
Yeah.
Check it out. If nothing else for the pictures, because it's cool.
We'll post a link of that along with this video.
Yeah, we'll post some of the pictures. I know we have posted some of the pictures already to the Instagram, so check those out. I'll post a link to the actual article, but yeah, check it out. It's super cool. A lot of insight. That's all I have though for the article. I'm glad we got it. It came out a little sooner than I thought. I mean, it's
yeah, and we should be starting to see more and more stuff now. I'm expecting another trailer sometime soon.
And I don't want
an actual trailer.
Don't want one. But,
well, then don't watch it. But I'll do a podcast.
I'm going to.
It.
So, I did really good with Avengers.
Yeah, you did. I did too, actually.
Super good. So, but this one I can't.
Yeah.
Mainly the
podcast.
You're a podcast
dedicated to.
Exactly. I would be doing a disservice if I didn't at that point.
It's true.
So yeah, that's all I've got for this.
Yeah, me too.
Next episode we are going to talk about, Jonathan and I are going to come back and give you our review and our thoughts and stuff on Dooku, Jedi Lost,
yep.
The audio drama for Audible. Super good book. We can't wait to talk to you guys about it. We really liked it. At least I think we really liked it. I really liked
it.
So
that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, we'll come back next week with that. And until then, may the Force be with you.
Always.